Back Talk is an extension of the award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs on Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, the podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie podcasts on NPR.
Very happy about that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Gary Hammond.
And this is Back Talk. Now, there's no other reason that I would have asked you other than that you are an attorney and you can tell me that our major player in this film, Fantasy Life, was a paralegal. What does that mean?
Well, he is in the basement of a law firm, apparently, and a woman comes in to have a serious talk with him, and he's being terminated. He was sent to the basement to alphabetize papers, and they're spread out on the desk, like the floor of his bedroom, I bet, in various piles, and so now he's unemployed and doing odd jobs.
He drops out of law school.
Well, he was on the law review at Harvard, and then he wasn't. So did he finish? I don't think so.
No.
And if he's a paralegal, your original question was, he would be providing strong support work with documents and things to attorneys on their cases and getting things organized for them. Alphabetizing them is something that rarely occurs
okay.
in my experience.
Is this the kind of job you can actually make a living on, the paralegal?
Oh, yeah. If you're a good paralegal, you can make a good living on.
Oh, okay.
If you're not, you get fired.
All right. The movie is Fantasy Life.
That's why you picked me? Okay. All right.
That's the only reason.
Okay, fine.
What's the conflict?
The conflict in this film is that he is a schlub, and he sees his psychiatrist, and his wife knows that her son and his wife have a babysitting problem,
yeah.
and ask maybe if he could be a babysitter. And so this turns out to be a new career path for him.
A Manny, I like that term.
A Manny, yes,
right?
A Manny.
So he's a Manny, but the better part of all this is that the wife is played by Amanda Peet, one of my favorite middle-aged actresses. And we have the husband, who is a...
David,
a rocker to be.
He's a fitful musician, and he gets a break when somebody gets sick in a band, and he subs for that ill person and ends up going on tour.
Yeah.
And which is a huge opportunity for David. Really empowers him.
Played by Alessandro Nivola.
Yes.
And I always think he should be some kind of a very chic Italian. And he never is. He's just like, he looks like an American. And he's been in several motion pictures.
Well, when you go to Rome, there's a lot of Italians that look like Americans. That's because a lot of Italians immigrated to America.
That's true, including my grandparents,
yeah.
and now and then when I go to Italy, go to Northern Italy in particular. We have then this very nebbish young guy, played by both the director, writer, and now this actor.
A star.
Yeah, he's a star. And he is Matthew Scheer.
Yes.
And this is the first time, I think that's pretty bold for him to take on this role. Do you think he's successful?
He is successful, yeah. He's a great schlub. He's got anxiety. OCD is a form of anxiety. It's one of the recognized areas of anxiety. And he has anxiety attacks, which play a pivotal role in demonstrating how desperate he is. Those around him are affected by that. He is very convincing.
Now, there are times when I think he's way too much. He's way too introverted, lacking self-confidence, and he's just really extreme.
Well, you're thinking that he's over the top, playing it over the top. I don't know what you're thinking, John. I'll suggest that
right.
It sounds like you're saying that he's over the top, that he's not credible. And yet, if a person is suffering from anxiety and OCD and has been at Harvard Law School and is now a Manny, you would expect him to have a low self-image
right.
and to be suffering tremendously. And he does suffer. And frankly, that was one of the things that was a little bit off-putting to me, because it was kind of painful to watch him going
yes.
through these things. The little successes that he had didn't seem to balance out for the steady decline, is
yeah,
what I'll say.
And I agree, and I guess I was just annoyed. I'm usually annoyed by introverts, Or at least I try to.
Which is why we get along.
Exactly. Yeah. But and I'll try to bring them into extroversion, and it never works. I'm pretty much, because I can't understand how anybody could be introverted in this world. But there are plenty, and I have some people close to me who are that. But I think he plays that extreme.
It's a bravure performance. I think. Of anxiety.
Yeah. You know, it's curious to me that the little girls that he's mannying for just kind of disappear from this movie.
They're at key points, though. They really are there. And they're the straight through, because they're doing amazingly well.
Yes.
When you consider that these three girls, all young, are doing very well with the parents they have and the manny that they have.
I guess maybe I'm saying I would have liked to have seen a little more of the interaction that he had with them, because I think it was successful, eventually successful, it seems to me. And I just would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that. But I realize where the emphasis is.
Well, the emphasis is on the distress of the adults, not on the happiness of the children,
And
as it often is.
Yeah. Would you call it a romantic comedy? I'm trying to figure out what we'd call this.
There's longing. There's anxiety. There's...
Now, we're talking between...
Diane, the mother of the girls, and the Manny.
Yeah.
David is the husband, and he's gone for most of the movie because he's off on his rock tour. So it's Sam, Matthew Shearer, and Amanda Peet that are thrust together in season. But anyway, so it's a very high-end thing. They live in a very nice apartment in New York City. She has a very nice lifestyle. She also has a therapist. She also is a failed actress due to her own anxiety and her own lack of self-confidence. And she had an opportunity in her youth, 15 years before. She can't even do an audition tape now.
Sometimes, and apparently this has happened to Amanda Peet, somebody will go up to her and be effusive about how much they love her, and she'll find out they're thinking of another actress,
and
which has happened to Peet. And Amanda Peet was involved in something with my daughter. And it's one of the reasons I kind of attached to her. My daughter had written a script called 8 to 8, sequel to 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
She dispatched Dabney Coleman immediately from the action. Uh-huh. Anyway, so she called me one night from Las Vegas, where she was with Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Drew Barrymore had just bought the script for my daughter.
Oh.
It was delayed because Amanda Peet was having a baby. So they delayed the production for that. And then Drew Barrymore was having, I think, something like maybe a miscarriage. So it was another year.
Oh.
So eventually, it never was produced.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to figure out whether it's true or not, because my daughter lives a life of fiction.
Uh-huh.
She writes, and she's successful. She has three books and so on. But we begin to think that maybe she has a little bit going on upstairs that isn't real. And so I can't tell you for sure if that is a true story or not. In fact, I can't tell you that it's true that they paid her $500,000 for her script. And I can't tell you if it's true that they paid her over $100,000 for the delays, which would be a tribute to her, since they usually don't want writers around the set because they muck with their scripts so bad.
They change everything.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that works with the Amanda Peet story. Now, I think that the two of them clutched a bit. There is a romance going on there. Well, anyway, she tells the family that they're having relations, and this is not something he's happy about, because they're not. But they have mixed it up just a bit, right? On the couch?
Well, yeah, they have. And he's the one that's there for the 3 months that David is gone. And it is revealed that it really is a failed marriage, ultimately, in the movie. And he confronts her, accusing her of being unfaithful to him. And so she says she was, and then everything explodes. It's a grand moment.
Yeah. Gary Hammond, what do you advise about fantasy life?
I didn't particularly like the movie. I'm actually impressed by Matthew Shearer, because I did some research on him, because I was so unimpressed by the movie that I decided to look at this guy and figure out how in the world did he get the backing to direct, to have produced a movie that he wrote.
Yes.
Because he seems like such a schlub, and he is a very dynamic individual. He is very impressive.
Oh,
and I looked at him in a new light.
All right. Fantasy Life. Gary, we're talking about Fantasy Life. What's that title?
That title is because that he was fantasizing about her. I don't think he was fantasizing about being a father to the children. I think he was just, she doesn't have a girlfriend, maybe has never had a girlfriend. She's very pretty. She's very needy, like he is. They're both very needy. She has a lot of anxiety. His is more manifest, but hers is certainly there and present. So he has this fantasy that, against all odds, he can lean over and kiss her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That appears to be successful, and it's unbelievable that it was successful. And then it ends. It's the end of it, and that's the end of his manning, not directly as a result of that, but it all comes crashing down.
Side question. When she writes out a check for him, is that for his services?
That's for the services he provided as a manny, because she never paid him for his services on Martha's Vineyard. And she said, I owe you money. What is it? And he said $2,500 because he's been working all that time.
Yeah, so. Very good. I agree with you. I think it's very, your analysis is very helpful. It is a fantasy to think that he could even have a chance with this woman.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so introverted and so, in a sense, unaccomplished to be with her, even though she's in a down period in her life. I mean, she's just on the dark side of 50, but she still is a dynamic person in her own right, and she has a background that he could spend probably days just researching her previous performances. It's a fantasy to think that he could connect with her. But yet, we've also, and you have established, that there's reason to think that the two of them could, in fact, connect with each other.
They have similarities. So she's a failed actress. She explains that she's white and she has a six-figure income as a result of her father's generosity. Her father is also very neurotic, and I don't remember the actor's name, but in any
Bob Balaban.
Okay, thank you.
Terrific role.
Oh, he is, yes. So she's very vulnerable, and he's very vulnerable, and he recognizes her vulnerability, and he decides to take a shot. And it's probably, I'll go out on a limb and say it's the boldest thing he's ever done.
Great. A better descriptor might be adult comedy.
Yeah, it's not. There's nothing really racy about it, but children and teens wouldn't understand it because it's a little complicated, unless, of course, they live in a family that's like that's like dysfunctional like that. But yeah, it's an adult comedy.
Yeah, it has some familiar territory for me, at least. It makes me think of Woody Allen.
So I looked up schlubs. I knew the word. It's a Yiddish word.
All right.
And I knew it described him, and I looked it up. And Woody Allen and Annie Hall came up first. Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate. Jack Lemmon in The Odd Couple. Homer Simpson. Peter Griffin from Family Guy.
Huh.
Doug Hufferman in King of Queens. Al Bundy in Married with Children. George Costanza, Seinfeld. Ben Stone in Knocked Up.
That's a great one. That's from Seinfeld. That's a terrific. He is a schlub.
He's a schlub. And then they also said the dude from The Big Lebowski, and I disagree with that entirely.
Oh, boy, he's not.
He's not a schlub.
He's dynamic as heck.
In his bathrobe and slippers in
did
a white Russian.
That? Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
And I totally dismissed I didn't dismiss the rest of the list, but I just dismissed that.
Keep going. That's a good list.
Yeah, and then Diane is the definition of a schlub is that they're let me see, I have it someplace. But anyway, I wrote it out. So the things are they're not attractive, they're ineffective, they're ill-dressed, etc., etc. She is seemingly she's the poster girl for a New York woman with significant beauty and style and finesse and etc., etc., etc. And she is underneath the picture that she paints a mess.
Yeah.
So
I think neurotic is as good an adjective.
And then with respect to David, he was just very ineffectual, filled in on a tour, and he came back with his ego and his self-worth very much inflated.
Right.
And he talked about how he was out earning money for this family, and men often do describe themselves in terms of who they are by what they do, or who are you or what do you do.
Right,
and those are
right.
the first things that are said at cocktail parties. So, and it's a failed or failing marriage.
Yeah.
So the three daughters are doing very well despite the benign neglect of David and Diane. And Sam gives them more direct interaction than they have with either of them that we see on screen.
Good one. So. And there are some other romantic comedies or adult comedies. One of them would be Sleepless in Seattle is pretty much a famous romantic comedy with Tom Hanks. And I think it's certainly one that people will come to almost immediately and more purely.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, exactly, When Harry Met Sally. And I even put in here Crazy Rich Asians, which I don't know whether I'm right or not. I think there's a lot of adult stuff going on in there and a lot of comedy and romance you're talking about. a wedding. So you're talking about romance going on there. Mm-hmm. And yet I think that there are not that many examples currently of romantic comedies. I can't think of them.
Apex was not, was it?
I don't think so, but that's a really interesting suggestion. Now, knowing us, we could probably squeeze that baby into the romantic.
It was one way.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I mean, sorry.
Notwithstanding that he falls from the mountain and dies within 10 minutes. Right. Oh God. But anyway, with Charlize, I never think of her as a romantic comedy.
No.
Type.
No,
she isn't.
I don't think so.
The film that we're talking about is Fantasy Life. As far as I'm concerned, it's not a great film.
It's not a great film. I'm glad I saw it so that I could review it with you as far as that goes. It's neither one way or the other. Matthew Shearer's filmography is The Boy Downstairs, 2017, Between the Temples, 2024.
Which is a good film. And there's a lot of Jewishness. We forgot to say that there's a heavy Jewish element in some of these romantic comedies.
There's Old, which is a mystery thriller. There's Marriage Story, which was a wonderful movie, and he's in there. That's 2019. Cubby, 2019. The Meyerowitz Stories, 2017. Mistress America, 2015. While We Were Young, 2014. And his debut was Taking Woodstock in 2009, which is a comedy drama. And I am actually going to see which of these movies I can find because I'm going to be interested to see him because he's a very good actor as a schlub. I want to see what else he can do.
Yeah, all right. So we're probably not going to see many of these, but we will find an awful lot of Jewish humor in some of these. And you're not always going to have Judd Hirsch come in doing the role that he's almost famous for.
Yeah.
He had two Oscar nominations from playing the same role. Just put on a sweater and he'll be the same guy.
Here we go.
All right. And Gary Hammond, the film is Fantasy Life. What do you suggest?
See it, don't see it. You might like it if this description has piqued your interest in seeing it.
Well, look at it this weekend. The new Star Wars, Mandalorian and Grogu, is coming.
Yeah.
And if you're not into that, you might want to go to see this early light film.
Very light.
In a sense, although it's depressing, it's still light.
It's a light touch.
It's a light
touch. On serious topics.
Exactly. And for adults, I think it's very serious.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be worth seeing Fantasy Life.
Okay.
A little bit like our broadcasts.
Our
fantasy.
We aspire.
Right. Fantasies that National Public Radio would even allow us, given that.
Every week is a surprise, John.